Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, the big story. Obviously, I'm sure everyone who's tuned in has already heard MJF no-showed a meet-and-greet for the AEW's Double or Nothing event last night, apparently refused to answer his cell phone, and from some sources, they say a ticket was bought for a red-eye flight out of Las Vegas. Meaning, of course, if he left Las Vegas, he certainly would not be on the AEW pay-per-view tonight. Now, from what I hear, he was not on that flight. So there are people who are talking, saying, we're not sure, it doesn't appear so, but we're not 100% sure. By now, you're 100% sure. And AEW has not, to my knowledge, issued any sort of a statement saying that match is not going to take place. So my assumption is that cooler heads prevailed. Now, a lot of people wrote me and said, is this a work? Could this possibly be a work? And the short answer is, well, anything can be a work. So is there a minute chance that this is a work? Yeah, there's a minute chance. And the timing is odd because Sasha and Naomi got all the attention for walking out. And now all of a sudden MJF supposedly walks out. It does look like it's odd timing. However, let me tell you why I don't think it's a work, and let me tell you why, if it is that tiniest little fraction of a chance that it is, it's a horrible idea. People paid money ahead of time at that meet and greet or for that meet and greet to meet MJF. Tickets were sold to his photo ops and autograph opportunities. That money had to either be refunded or, from what I'm told, you could pick another wrestler and, you know, that they would apply it to that. That's bad business. Really, really, really bad business. There are fans who came there specifically to see MJF, and that's bad business. So turn out in this crazy world of professional wrestling to be some sort of a knock-on or a knock-off of Sasha and Naomi walking out, and it turns out to be in any way, shape, or form a work. This is dumb and a really, really, really bad idea. Now, my own personal view is it's not a work, because when business is involved like this, money, you don't usually play around with that. You don't usually play games with that because you're just going to piss off your fan base. So I don't think so. So if I'm going to go from the perspective that it's not a work, and I'm going to tell you my feelings on this. MJF for a while had said, well, what happened was I signed a contract, and I was pretty much a nobody, and I became somebody. And my worth to this company has greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated over the last years. And I don't feel I'm being adequately compensated upon the worth I'm giving this company. Now, he has an absolute right to ask for an extension on his contract and to have that extension be for a ton more money. However, he does not have the right to ask for more money now. You signed a contract. You know, there was a very famous story that I believe they were like a 70s or an 80s rock band told named Boston. And Boston had so many hits off their first album that they literally became like the number one band in the world. And right up until about 4 or 5 years ago, they still were one of the top selling. That debut album was still one of the top selling albums. They said on an interview, we barely got enough money out of that first album to buy a house, even though it made millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars throughout the years. That's because you signed a contract. And the contract said, this is how much you will get. Nobody twisted your arm to sign that contract. Nobody forced you to sign that contract. You signed it. Once you sign that contract, you don't get to revise it. You don't get to say, well, we got a top 40 hit now, so even though we signed this contract saying we would take this amount of money, we don't want to do that anymore. So you have to give us more. You'll be laughed out of court. So if MJF's argument is you should be paying me more right now because I believe his contract runs till January of 2024. If MJF's argument is you should be paying me more now, he's insane. It's not going to happen, nor should it happen. You signed it. If you thought you had so much to add to this company that in a year or two's time you would be top dog, you should have signed a 2-year contract. But you didn't. So you have to honor that contract. And your payday will come with your next contract, but not this one. This one has to be honored first. That's the way it works. Here's what you do not do. You do not walk out on your employer. And I will tell you why you don't do that, for the same reason that Sasha Banks and Naomi was wrong. If you think that's going to endear you to the WWE or make you in any way, shape, or form a sought-after free agent, you're insane. The WWE is going to look at this and say, oh, so let me get this straight. You're going to sign a 3-year deal with us, and at the end of 1 year, you're going to say, I want double the money, and if you don't give it to me, I'm going to take my ball and go home. We don't want to deal with somebody like that. So forget it. If this is not in any way, shape, or form a work, and I don't think it is, you're cutting your own throat. Now, I think he realizes that. He has not missed his pay-per-view yet. He missed a meet and greet. Now, if he was trying to send a message that I'm woefully unhappy, I don't like the way I'm being treated, and I'm not coming to the meet and greet, and I may not even come to the pay-per-view, okay, message received, now get your ass to the pay-per-view. Finish your contract, do what you've been contracted to do, or ask to be released from your contract. You can do that. But then you don't get the money. If you want to walk into Tony Khan's office and say, I'd like to be released from my contract, I'm no longer happy here. Now I want to see if that happens. If the king of all men, Tony Khan, who has sang the praises of, I am for the little guy, I will not control this wrestling federation like Vincent K. McMahon, this will be an open sort of a federation for the wrestlers themselves to call their home. Watch how quick Tony Khan will say, no, you're not getting out of your contract. Watch how quick. And this is what I told you from the moment the AEW opened their doors and said they were going to do X, Y, and Z, I cried bullshit. And I told you they wouldn't do it because you can't run a business that way. But you can't run a business this way either. You cannot have people just walking out. Every time they're upset about creative, every time they're upset about their pay or lack of. This is not the way you run a professional business. So if I was Tony Khan and I heard that MJF bought that ticket, I would tell him, get on the plane. Get on the plane and go to fly to wherever the hell you want to fly. As of this moment, your contract is frozen and you're not being paid. When you decide to come back and you decide to honor the contract that you signed of your own free will, then you'll get the money that I agreed upon. Because if I can do what you can do, then I'll just say, well, I don't want to pay you that much money. So does it work both ways? Let's say you signed a major name for big money and the fans aren't into them. Do you get to say, well, I'm sorry, you were not as major as we thought you are. So even though we did say we're going to give you $1 million a year for 3 years, we're not going to do that anymore. Hey, watch how quick that goes to court. And watch how quick the judge says, oh, yes, you are going to give him all that money. So for all of the wrestling fans who are saying, well, I understand what he means, he's worth more, too bad. People who are worth less. How about the people who bombed? How about the people who came in and you gave them a fat deal and they amounted to nothing? Can you then cut their salary? Does it work that way? Or it only works that it's always got to benefit the wrestler. That doesn't make sense. Now, I expect MJF to show up tonight. And if he did show up tonight, I know people are going to say, see, it was a work. Maybe. But if it was, you disappointed in a lot of fans who showed up to get a picture taken and an autograph, a lot of them. And that's no way to do business. Number two, even if it's not a work, the wrestling business is infamous for taking a real-life situation and turning it into a work. Now, I know a lot of fans laughed at it and said, oh, that's dumb. No, they won't do that. What do you mean they won't do that? Edge and Lita had an affair. Matt Hardy was pissed about it, caught him red-handed, and they made it into an angle, folks. They made it into an angle. So don't tell me they won't take real-life situations and turn it into an angle. That's what wrestling thrives upon. So they may very well turn this into an angle, but if you see that it does, I don't want to hear any of you marks, and I'm, you know why? I never use the word marks. Because I told you, it carries a negative connotation. But if you honestly believe if they turn this into an angle, it always had to be an angle, then you actually are a mark. This does not have to be an angle to be turned into one, folks. So if he shows up tonight and they say, you know, MJF skipped the meet and greet and threatened to leave, he didn't even want to do this match, I know there's going to be a zillion of you saying, see, I told you it was a work. That doesn't mean it was a work at all. Doesn't mean anything of the kind. It means they chose to use a real-life situation and turn it into that for their benefit, because that's what wrestling does. So I have no up-to-the-minute news, but the latest I've heard is that MJF did not get on the plane. So a ticket was booked for him. He did not get on the plane, so he's still in Vegas. If he's still in Vegas, and AEW has not announced that that match is not taking place, then it's taking place. Now, I know somebody sent me just before I came on the air a thing saying they tweeted MJF versus Wardlow tonight in a big match and then immediately removed it. That still doesn't mean it's not going on. Until Tony Khan actually puts on the AEW site, this match is not happening. My assumption, Mike, is that it is happening, and cooler heads probably prevailed.
Yes, and that's the thing. And think about it this way. CM Punk's contract came up at one point in WWE, right? And they made an angle out of it, all right? They had him walk out and come and stop a couple shows here and there to quote, prove his worth to the company. He didn't get on a jet. He didn't get, you know, he didn't buy a ticket. They took his contract and made it an angle. And not only did they make it an angle right then, but they brought it back when they brought the idea of that angle back when they had that whole Raw walkout. You know, they used it twice as an angle. So,
that's right.
I'm not saying it's not an angle. I'm just saying wrestling has done this before, you know, and turned something like this into an angle.
Of course, and they'll do it many times again. So my thought process is this. If you're MJF, and this was legit, and you're saying to yourself, I'm done with this company, I don't like it for whatever reason, I don't think I'm being treated fairly, or whatever your reason happens to be. If you want a future in this business, get your ass to the arena and do the match. Then if you want to talk to Tony Khan about being let out of your contract early or whatever the hell it happens to be, see what he'll say. If he's the benevolent, wonderful, woke prince of professional wrestling, he'll say, oh, if you're not happy here, by all means, just leave. Don't worry about it. We wouldn't hold you here. You're free to leave. Let's see if he does it. Let's see if he does it. Put your money where your mouth is, Tony Khan. If you really got an unhappy employee, remember when he was making fun of Vince McMahon? Oh, these people don't even want to work for him, and he won't let them go. Let them go. Let's see what you do in that situation. Now, the thing between MJF and Tony Khan, in my opinion, is real. Whether this whole thing was real, I don't know. I suspect it is. But their negotiations, even before this happened, had said to be not too good. Tony Khan apparently offered an extension, saying, okay, your contract's till 2024. I'll offer a 2-year extension. And those 2 years, once you reach that time, you'll be given a substantial amount more money. It'll make you one of the higher paid people in AEW. But from what I hear, MJF didn't want that. Well, I don't know what you want, MJF. If you think he's going to say we're going to rip up your contract that you signed of your own free will, sit down and give you a whole brand new contract with many more zeros on the end of it because you deserve it, you don't know how business works. That's just, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The only way in God's green earth that that would happen is if Tony Khan was so scared of losing MJF that he thought the whole company would be in danger, and I don't think he thinks that. And I don't think it's the truth either. Because while you have many people saying, you know, he is ingrained into that show, that's true. But he's also ingrained into a show that allows him to do things that the WWE is not going to allow him to do. And MJF better understand that very clearly. If you think you're just going to take that microphone in the WWE and say, I'll just go out and ad-lib, say whatever I want, that it's not happening. It's not happening. And if you screw up and you say something you shouldn't, and there's 2 or 3 times, maybe more, in AEW where MJF said things he probably shouldn't have said, and if he said them in the WWE, big problem. So he's going to have to understand that too. His whole entire shtick is going to have to be toned down somewhat to work within the confines of WWE and the way they work. So here you go. You might get more money from Vince McMahon. You're definitely going to get more fame from Vince McMahon, but you are going to be controlled to some extent. AEW, it seems like Tony Khan is basically saying, well, within reason, whatever he wants to say, let him say. If it crosses a line, I'll apologize and we'll make sure he doesn't do it again, but let's just let him go. You're not going to get that freedom in the WWE. Nobody does. And you're certainly not going to, because they know what you could be possibly capable of on the microphone, and they don't want to have to deal with that. So this is an interesting thing, Todd. But regardless, you don't walk out. If this is an angle, it's a dumb one because you don't disappoint fans. If it's not an angle, you don't walk out on your company before a big pay-per-view like this and basically disappoint everybody who bought tickets ahead of time hoping to see this match.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. I remember back in the day when Paul Heyman said something about Sabu not did a no-show for a show, and he told the fans like it is, told them what's going on, the truth about it, when he didn't do a no-show for an event.
Yeah, I remember Paul Heyman getting in the ring and saying Sabu promised me he would be here, but he was offered more money to go compete in Japan, so he left you guys high and dry. He said it right in the ring. Left me and all of you people who paid to see him high and dry. That's exactly what he said. And if you remember, there wasn't a whole wrestling community saying, well, Sabu deserves it. I don't blame him. It's Paul Heyman's fault. He should have paid him more. I'm on side Sabu. Nobody did that. I don't know what's going on with wrestling. And I don't know what's going on with the wrestling fandom. But I do think that I listened to another podcast, and I agree with them, several professional wrestlers who were saying the wrestling community – has become like primarily like 70% literally woke social justice warrior snowflakes. And it's very hard to play to that audience. Yeah, no kidding. How long have we said this on this show? Yeah, if you're a wrestling fan, be a wrestling fan. I don't care you vote for. I don't care whether you're pro-climate change or anti-climate change. I don't care whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. I don't care about any of that. But don't bring the woke nonsense bullshit into this business, because this is not a business that can live if they have to abide by those standards. And I don't think you understand it. You may as well say we have to abide by these standards in pornography. You may as well say, well, you can't treat a woman like that because, oh, well, you can't have a woman look like she's cheating on somebody because that's anti-woman. Oh, you can't have a man be dumb. You can't show this. You can't show that. Well, then throw the business away, because there's nothing left. Well, the same thing is happening with pro wrestling now. You're getting to the point where nothing is left, because you've got imbeciles saying, oh, I'm pro Sasha and Naomi. Why? Doubt on you. They walked out on a company they signed a contract with and refused to honor it. How are you going to be with people like that? MJF's the same way. There's no bigger MJF fan than me. I told you he's the biggest blue chipper I've seen in 10 years. But you can't do this. Period. And then you got Einstein's like Will Ospreay. Now we know why Will Ospreay's not working for a major company in the United States of America. Because Will Ospreay went on record and said the following: I don't want to be an actor. I'm not an actor. Professional wrestler. That's how I want to be known, as a wrestler. Someone who actually wrestles. Well, then why don't you join the Olympics? Because what you're doing is not really wrestling. It doesn't even resemble wrestling. If you got in a ring with an Olympic gold medal wrestler, he would dust you, eat you for lunch. So don't give me that bullshit. You're an actor because you're pretending that a punch hurts that didn't land. You're pretending you lost when you didn't. You're pretending you won when you didn't. You're pretending you hate someone when you don't. You're pretending you like someone when you might not. You are an actor. And until you get that through your system, you are part of the problem, not part of the cure. The wrestling business is very sick right now. And it's because of this type of attitude. Period. I knew the day was going to come when one of these guys was going to say, I want to be remembered as a wrestler. You know what that's the equivalent of? That's the equivalent of Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, I want to be remembered as a commando. Yeah, but you're not a commando. But I played one in a movie. Yeah, but you're not one, though. That's the equivalent of Henry Winkler saying, I want to be remembered as the Fonz. That's who I am. No, you're not. You're Henry Winkler. You played a character. I don't get it. I do not understand this. But when somebody as high profile as Will Ospreay can say that and really mean it, then you know the sickness has spread into the business so deep that even some of the top performers believe that in their heart of hearts. Now, you could say, look, I'm an actor. But part of my job is to be the best athlete I possibly can be and put on the best match I can possibly be, and I would like to be remembered as someone who showed great athletic ability in my role and was truly a professional wrestler. That you could say, but you can't say I'm not an actor. Well, what are you, Will? Please explain to me what you are. When was the last time you went into the ring and didn't know who was going to win? That's what actors do. Wrestlers don't do that. Wrestlers go out and hope they win. When's the last time you saw a actual wrestling, Greco-Roman wrestling, where they said, so-and-so's going to win with a bridge? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You're taking yourself way too seriously. if tomorrow Enzo Amore was booked to beat you like a drum, you got two choices. You could say, I refuse to do it, or you could take the money and run because you're an actor. But I just can't imagine actors, you know, in a role saying, well, I am a fifth-degree black belt, and I don't think the guy I'm fighting even knows how to fight, so I'm not losing a fight to him. But that's the role, though. You're the henchman, and you get beat up by this guy in the second scene of the movie. Yeah, but I'm better than him. Yeah, but this isn't real life. Yes, it is. No, no, it's not. It's a movie. But I want to be remembered as a karate fighter. Okay, well, then get out of the movie. I mean, Mike, that should be self-evident. I cannot believe that Will Ospreay would say something like that.
Right. He doesn't get it. You know, the thing is he doesn't get it. There are people that get it. You know who gets it? Who's the same as Will Ospreay? Chad Gable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a former amateur wrestler, former Olympic wrestler as well. He gets it. You know, and look, as far as this wokeness is, there are places in entertainment that should never, ever, ever be woke. Wrestling is one. Horror movies are another one. Those things should never be woke. And I think wokeness has kind of killed the horror movie industry, just like it's killing wrestling right now.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And believe me, wokeness has infected horror movies. This is not a horror movie channel, nor is it a horror movie blog talk show, but go watch the new Slumber Party Massacre. You want to talk about wokeness? All the women are heroic and wonderful and virtuous. All the men are weak, ineffectual, cowardly. The men have a half-naked pillow fight where feathers are flying. The women are the ones with the bats and the guns going after the killer. The killer is a man who's killed halfway through the movie because, of course, he's ineffectual, but the woman who's his mother, she's much tougher because she's a woman. So, and we literally get to a scene where someone has to apologize for their male privilege. That's what we're getting with horror films now. So, yeah, it's affecting every single aspect of the world, and it is in fact a poison. You can say, oh no, it's wonderful. No, it's not wonderful. See, because we have a built-in way to handle things like that. If you see something you don't like, you hear something you don't like, or someone says things or believes things you don't like, you have the ability to turn them off. I can't tell you how many times in the heyday of professional wrestling I had friends who hated it. Okay, and so if they came over to my house and I'm watching wrestling, they'll be like, oh, my God, this crap hole is terrible. That's so fake. It's so ridiculous. I can't stand it. I tell them, okay, well, I'm watching it. I like it. Okay? There are people to this day that tell me, oh, my God, you're not watching a Steven Seagal movie. Oh, my God, it's terrible. He's a big, fat, he can't fight. I don't care. I like the movie. I like it. You don't like it, don't watch it. That's the simple solution. But don't insist it change so you... And that's what's happening now, folks. People are saying, no, wrestling can't do these things because I said so. It has to be approved by me. I don't like it. Therefore, I get to tell everyone how it needs to be ran so that me and people who think like me will like it. Or we won't watch. And much to my surprise, instead of the promoter saying, you can go F yourself, they've caved into this baloney. And that's why you get nonsense. And that's why you get performers who think they're so entitled they can walk out. Period. If I agreed to do a job for someone, let's say I said, well, okay, I'm going to help you move your house. I'll do some heavy lifting and put stuff in the truck. And they tell me, okay, well, I'll give you, I don't know, $200 for the day. And I say, okay. And I get to the house, and I'm like, holy mother of God. It's a three-story house. We're going to be here for 12 hours. If I've already signed the contract, I'm doing it for $200. And guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to hold them for ransom and say I won't touch one piece until we renegotiate. You know, I'm going to say to myself, Marcus, my friend, you screwed up. You should have took a good look at the job before you gave your price. It's your fault. Deal with it. Do the job. Learn your lesson. Because that's what a normal, rational adult does. A child says, oh, you didn't tell me. I'm not doing that. I want more money. That's what happens. But that's the society we live in now. And then you get a whole bunch of people saying, I side with the person who won't do the job. Hi, yi, 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 yi. Oh, my God. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's pathetic. Killing wrestling. And if these people get away with it, you think other people aren't going to do it? Let's see Tony Khan send a real message. If Tony Khan wanted to send a real message to MJF, and this was not a work, and MJF walked out of that autograph signing meet and greet thing and said, you know, I may not even go to Double or Nothing. If you're Tony Khan, you don't even take a breath. You say, if that's the way you truly feel, don't show up. No big deal. You're not going to get paid. You voided your contract. So, but just don't show up, and I'll explain to the crowd that MJF took his ball and went home. He doesn't want to work here for AEW because I won't throw him a boatload more money in the middle of his contract. And you go talk to Vince McMahon and see if he'll do that if you were in the middle of your contract, because you're not going to get any better rub from him than you would from me. If you start doing that, things will change. What happened with Netflix? Netflix said, we're done. We're done bowing to the woke mob. You don't like working here. You don't like the programs we put on. You don't like the ideologies of some of the people that we have on here. Hit the road. We're done losing money off you. We're done losing money bowing before a mob. We're not doing it anymore. Every show is not going to be a woke showcase. Every show is not going to preach your ideology and drive down the other person's ideology. We're going to show a mixed bag of whatever. You either like it or you don't. Don't want to hear no complaints. If you got a problem, don't work here. That's it. So all they have to do, Mike, with these wrestling federations, and things will get different quickly.
Right. And think about this. One of the least woke places, I think, has been HBO. Because think about it. Think about it. Look at some of the things they put on in recent years, including things like, I don't know, Game of Thrones. I mean, you can't tell me Game of Thrones was a woke TV show.
No. No, it wasn't woke, but see, this is the thing about it. The woke mob liked it because they didn't preach anything anti-woke either. They might have said women were empowered, right? There was a lot of, well, Cersei or whatever her name was, she was very empowered, right? She was a powerful woman. If it was all damsels in distress getting rescued by men, yes, they would have protested. They would have said, this is absolutely insane. But no, they didn't protest because a lot of women were empowered in that show. The bottom line is this. Wrestling itself has really never been insulting to women. You can say, well, what about when they had pillow fights and they had divas titles? Well, that was TNA and it was selling, but those girls weren't forced to do that. What about Mae Young and Moolah in their heyday? Were they being taken for granted? Were they sex symbols? No. Neither one of them. They were hard-nosed professional wrestlers. The WWE gave opportunities to some people who weren't wrestlers, Stacy Keibler, and some other people because they were good looking and they could market them. But the funny thing is this, their talent might not have been in the ring, but they did have talent. They could cut a promo. They did things with them as far as management, or they were managing this wrestler. They cut a lot of skits with them. That's the same thing as saying, well, how much talent does your average sex symbol women's pop diva have? Maybe she's not the greatest singer in the world, but look how she looks. We can put her on a poster. We can put her on the side of a billboard. She'll look great on a video. Don't tell me that the businesses don't do that. And they do it with men, too. If you think Roman Reigns would be the champion for life with his same exact skill set, if he was a fat slob with four teeth in his head, you're insane. You're insane. It would never happen. Because look is important even in the male aspect of it, and always has been, maybe even more so. Let's go back through the history of some of the men who were champions. Very few of them who were long-term champions. You might have had a transitional champion here or there. Very few men in the WWE who were champions were people who you wouldn't say, well, I bet you the majority of the women fans think they're good-looking. Shawn Michaels, Triple H, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Roman Reigns, John Cena, Randy Orton. Please, don't give me that double standard bullshit. It's not true. See, because unlike a lot of people in the wrestling fan base, I talk to real wrestling fans who are women and men. And I hear all the time, oh, Roman Reigns is so hot. He reminds me of Jason Momoa. Oh, I got a Roman Reigns poster on my wall. He's so gorgeous. Don't give me that bullshit that women don't do that. Don't give me that because I know better. You're lying. So it's just men who do that. Naturally, they're all gaga over some woman who can't wrestle because she's good looking. Women do it too. Appearance matters. Marketability matters. Part of marketability is your appearance. It doesn't necessarily have to be a sex symbol appearance, but your appearance is something that can be marketed. Why do you think Kiss wore makeup when they first came on the scene? Because it was marketable. Oh, this is very unique. We can market all kinds of toys and gimmicks and everything around this. They're a very marketable band. Then when they got a level of fame, they're like, we don't even need the makeup anymore. Because we've already established ourselves. So appearance matters. Whether it's appearance in a way that is a sex symbol appearance or it's just a marketable appearance. You can market people's appearances who aren't what you'd say good looking, but at the same time, they're unique. They look unique. So this double standard is not working. It's killing professional wrestling. And I long for the day when they look at this logically and say, we have lost well over half of our fan base. There was a time in the 90s, go look back at the ratings in the 90s, of all the federations. Like 5, 6, 8 million wrestling fans a week watching shows. Now, I'm not saying one show, but if you add it all up. Now you're lucky if you get four. You've lost half your audience. And you're not going to get them back until this nonsense clears up, Todd, because people are just tired of knowing they're going to see a watered-down, woke program that has to stick to strict guidelines and nothing too over the edge is ever going to happen. It's like going to see a PG horror film. You already know going in you're not going to see anything major.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's not like it used to be. Back then, you didn't really have watered-down storylines and everything. You had to – I remember back in the day, you had the heavy storylines going on back then. Now today, it's watered-down versions of things.
Yeah, and you know it going in. So if you know it going in, how excited can you be, Mike, when you know – from the very beginning, certain things are going to be off limits.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. Think about it. Back in ECW, Tammy Sitch was a wrestler, right? She was a wrestler, but she didn't become big, I mean, really big, until she went to the WWE. And what did she do in the WWE? Look good.
Right. And she was very marketable. Very marketable.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. See, this is the culture we live in. We live in a culture where we say, if you're only marketing a woman on her looks, that's wrong. Well, why don't you tell that to Victoria's Secret models? Why don't you tell that to runway models? Of course you're marketing on their looks. And the same happens with men, too. Okay, there are no Chippendale dancers that weigh 385 pounds. So please. We can't exist this way, folks. This business cannot exist this way much longer. And the program I was listening to, these wrestlers were very down about this. Now, they're former wrestlers. I think one of them may still wrestle once in a while. I'm not going to mention them because then they're going to get heat or something. And if you listen to the show, you know. And they literally said, this fan base is killing us because we have to be so careful. And they always are looking for something to complain about, like a bunch of Karens. Instead of saying, well, we're actually critiquing. See, critique is one thing. You could say, well, I watched this match, and I truly think the psychology was bad. I truly think they blew some spots. That's critique. When you say, well, they're not being treated fairly because of their ethnicity, or they're not being treated fairly because they're a woman, or they're not being treated fairly because of their religion or their belief, and they should be able to walk if they don't want to do a show, that's just being a Karen. It's not true in any aspect. It's ridiculous. We're getting to the point now in society where you say, well, if half of your champions are not in some way, shape, or form, either a minority group, whether it be African-Americans or Latino or Asian or whatever, if half of them aren't that, then you obviously are a bigot. Well, what happened to the best people? I don't care if every champion in the Federation is Korean. If that's the best people that's there, then fine, give it to them. If those are the people who's selling the tickets, those are the people who you want to run with, give it to them. I don't give a damn. What do I care? I was one of the few people who was sticking up for Big E's title run, saying he's a great champion because you're always on the cusp of thinking he might not win this match. Unlike Roman Reigns, who you say, well, of course he's going to win the match. Point, he's going to win the match. I'd rather watch a champion where I'm like, I'm not sure. Big E was that champion. That's why I like Big E. But it didn't have anything to do with whether he's African-American or he's Latino or he's Asian or he's whatever. Can we knock it off? Anyway, every person in professional wrestling is in fact an actor. If you do not consider yourself one, get out of the business because there's something mentally wrong with you. The very definition of an actor is someone who pretends to be someone they're not and goes through a scene where the things that's really happening aren't really happening. What do you think professional wrestling is? If you want to be remembered as a real wrestler, be a real wrestler. Play a police officer in a movie and say, I want to be remembered as a police officer, but you're not. I don't care how well you play the part. I don't care how athletic you are. You're not. Robert Redford was quite athletic when he played in the natural, right? He looked like a ball player. He can't say, how do we remember it as a great ball player? But yeah, but you're not. Stop trying to be something you're not and just entertain the fans. Because that's your only job description, entertain the fans. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. Because I think we're going to get into some disagreements here, which is always fun. I was talking to a friend and sometimes a caller of the show. And he said, they kind of lost me halfway through. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. And I don't know, maybe I was just in a benevolent mood, but I watched SmackDown this week and I said, this is the best SmackDown I have seen in a very, very long time. A very long time. Everything seemed to be leading somewhere, and there were some things that I was genuinely surprised about and said, okay. Writers have finally figured out, hey, you can kill more than one bird with a stone. Case in point. You're going to have the rematch between Raquel Rodriguez, or Gonzalez, whatever she's called now, and Ronda Rousey. And we get a pretty good scene in the dressing room where we have Shotzi Blackheart saying, hey, how come she's getting another title shot? She lost, which is a good point. And Shotzi says, well, you haven't lost since you've been here to Xia Li. How come you're not getting a title shot? And then she goes around the room and says, every one of you deserve a title shot more than Raquel. Every one of you, including me. Now, Xia Li storms out. We had Natty and Shayna, and I can't even remember the other girl's name, but she left, and they're, obviously those two are going to get in a feud. And she locks her into the dressing room so Shotzi can't come out. Okay, that's a pretty good beginning of their feud. We then get a little taste of Raquel Gonzalez seemingly manhandling Ronda Rousey again. And clearly showing I am dominant when it comes to being stronger. I'm much stronger than her. And I can toss her around like nobody else. Not even Nia Jax tossed her around like that. And you can clearly see that Ronda Rousey's struggling to overcome that. But they don't get a chance because they're attacked. Now, there is one bad part of this, and that is there was a moment in this match where Ronda Rousey turned around and the other person in the ring with her was Shayna Baszler, and the crowd popped. And less than a few seconds later, Shayna Baszler gets rolled up for a three count. Huge, gigantic, glaring mistake. If anything, you should have had Shayna Baszler beat everybody's ass. And her and Ronda Rousey kind of stare down. The crowd wants that. You can tell the crowd wants that. Don't give away an ending. Because then the rub is, well, look how easy Shayna Baszler got beat. Ronda should be able to take her. You don't want that. You want, like, oh, crap. Shayna Baszler got the upper hand here. I know you still want Raquel to go against Ronda. Gotcha. I do too. But then pick somebody else other than Shayna to lose the match because you want Shayna and Ronda set up at the same time. Had you done that, I really would have been applauding because I'm like, now you're really setting up people for Ronda. She hasn't got really by Raquel totally yet because you can say the first match, well, okay, she won the first match, but Raquel had no idea that she was going to have a match. It was an open challenge, and she accepted it. When she had a week to prepare, she was kicking Ronda Rousey's ass. So now the rub could be, well, now that I have some time to prepare, I think I'm more than a match for her. And Ronda Rousey sold that very well. But waiting in the wings is Shayna Baszler, who is also an MMA fighter. And you could get a very good series of matches there. So I'm going to give them a slight bit of criticism on that. But you're setting up the women's dressing room to have more than one conflict at the same time. You got Shotzi Blackheart, her conflict. Shayna Baszler, obviously, and Ronda are kind of still looking at each other like they might want to fight each other. We don't know what the ramifications going to be with Natty and maybe Raquel now or something. Obviously, maybe Shayna's going to fight Raquel first. We don't know. What we do know is this segment had a lot of branches on the trees, Mike, and because of that, I thought it was a good segment, even though I do think the Shayna Baszler getting pinned was a mistake.
Yeah, I think so. I think that too. And furthermore, if you have that series of matches, because of their experience, you could absolutely have them have Shane and Ronda do an MMA style match, you know, and hey, you work it out between you guys, do what you do best, you know, that would be an interesting, just like if they did something with Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, you know, it'd be the same exact thing, Ronda and Shayna. And yeah, and by the way, I've seen all over the internet about not rumors, but kind of a wishful thinking of putting Raquel Gonzalez and what's her name that's currently with Judgment Day together as kind of a female Road Warriors.
Oh, Rhea Ripley. Yeah,
yeah,
you know, Raquel Gonzalez, had she been on the other show, would have been the person that I would have liked to have seen maybe Styles and Finn Balor recruit to deal with Rhea Ripley, because then you'd say, okay, well, that's a good choice. You know, that's what I'm saying. A little logic goes a long way. Raw's logic is very skewed. Now, I was right when I said there was going to be two or three people from Raw on SmackDown, one of which was Kevin Owens. Now, I've heard some reports that Kevin Owens is not happy again. He signed his contract, but some people are saying he's dogging it or he's not too happy, he doesn't get to do that much, blah, blah, blah. But I thought they both, him and Sammy, turned in a great performance. And as you know, I'm not a big Sami Zayn guy, but I give credit where credit is due. And Sami Zayn's character now is interesting me because I'm not sure where my loyalty should lie with his character. It's very interesting. They first came out, Kevin Owens called him out, said, I'm going to have a member of the Bloodline. Turns out to be Sami Zayn, who's obviously not a member of the Bloodline. They kiss each other's ass for a while, but then it comes down to Kevin Owens saying, you need to drop what you're doing here and come help me with this Ezekiel Elias thing. And Sami Zayn says, I can't do that. I got obligations here. I'm a member of the Bloodline, and I'm locker room leader and everything. And Kevin Owens then gets mad at him and says, what are you talking about? We've always had each other's back. You need to have my back. And then Sami Zayn rightfully says, we haven't always had each other's back. That's the truth. And then Kevin Owens says, look, you're not a locker room leader, and you're not a member of the Bloodline. To which Sami Zayn then just comes back and says, yeah, well, and out of anger because he knows, this is a well-written skit, by the way, out of anger because he knows that Kevin Owens is telling the truth, and it hurts when your friend is telling you the truth. It's one thing for an announcer to say he's not a member of the Bloodline. You say, yes, I am. Shut up, idiot. But this is your friend saying, get it through your head. You're delusional. You are not a member of the Bloodline. Sami Zayn says, well, I'm not really an official member, no, but I am this, that, and the other thing. He says, no, you're not even that. Sami, you're nothing to them. They don't know you exist. Then Sami Zayn gets mad and out of anger says, yeah, well, I lied about Elias being Ezekiel. It's clearly Elias. You've seen pictures of the two of them together. I don't know why you're so hyped on this. This was a very well – I don't know where it's going because we've already seen Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens feud and they're on different shows, so I don't think that's the case. But I have to assume there's a reason that you had that skit. Now, the reason could be just as simple as the skit we saw backstage with Sami Zayn asking the Usos, what am I? Am I actually a member of this or not? And them saying, well, I mean, no, you're not a – actual member. He said, well, I mean like an honorary member. And they said, okay. Now they didn't clear it with Roman Reigns or anything. They said, yeah, whatever. They're clearly lying to Sami Zayn. They're clearly saying, you're a useful idiot. As long as we string you along, you'll do our dirty work for us. So what the hell, man? If you want to be used by us, we'll use you. I don't know whether this is meant to get Sami Zayn some sympathy or whether this is going to actually backfire on the bloodline and Sami Zayn is going to cost them big time. And they're going to somehow get a more gray area of heel persona. I don't know. Now, I had a lot of people write me and say, what do you think of the opening with the Usos talking about, bluffing the audience into thinking they were telling them how much they appreciated them and all that kind of stuff. Well, here's what I want to tell you about that. When a skit like that is written, yes, it is written to bluff you. It's written to make you say, oh, they're being nice guys. Oh, those bastards strung us along. Sons of bitches. Just when I thought they were being sincere and giving us a real moment, they were just playing with us. Now they're saying we don't matter. That was kind of the Usos' way of saying we can't break character, but this is really what we think, and then we're going to snap back into character. So you can take the fact that what they said was pretty much what they felt. So it was a nice moment. For the smart wrestling fan, you understand what that means. It means we're going to do this because we mean it, and then we have to go back to being actors, so we're going to say we didn't mean it, but you obviously know we do. Now, the Usos, 12 years, man, when I heard that, I said, are you kidding? That can't be right. 12 years flew by. Holy mackerel. But, yeah, 12 years. I don't know. Let's stick with the Sami Zayn thing, though, for a minute, Mike. I thought Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn both did a really, really, really good job of selling whatever it is they're supposed to sell with each other. One guy saying Sami Zayn's delusional because he's thinks he's a part of the bloodline, and the other saying you're delusional because you're hung up on whether Elias is Ezekiel when he's clearly not. I don't know what's coming out of this, but I was entertained by it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and that's I mean, both of those two things seem to be really well written. And when you have properly motivated writers, and that seems like what both of those two segments were properly motivated writers doing great work, you know? I mean, think about it. I mean, I don't know where this whole Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens thing, unless they're thinking about not only flipping, not only flipping Owens, but maybe taking Sami Zayn and shipping him off to Raw and to put him with Kevin Owens. I don't know where that's going. And yeah, that's a well written segment. We know we're getting bluffed, but it's well written.
I just have this weird feeling that Sami Zayn, them using Sami Zayn as a useful idiot is going to backfire. And it's either going to cost the Usos half of their tag team unification, or it's going to cost Roman. One of the two. I just get that feeling, Todd, that that's where they're heading with this.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. What this whole thing with Kevin, what this whole thing with Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and also the Usos. Like you said, they're using you, Sammy. They're using you. They're not really your friends. They wanted to use you as a ploy.
But at some point, don't you think this is going to backfire and it's either going to cost the Usos or it's going to cost Roman?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they're going to cost the bloodline down the road there as well.
Yeah, I think, Mike, that's what's going to happen. I'm leaning toward it costing the Usos because that seems to be the ones they're most involved with instead of Roman, but it could potentially cost Roman.
And think about this. If Roman is going to go away for a while to make movies or do something like that, right, they're going to have to get those belts off of him at some point, right? And so, and if they really want to we've said it before, if they really want to capitalize on the fact that Randy Orton is, every time he sticks his head out that curtain, the roof blows off the place, right? Well, what's the best way to capitalize on it? I know Randy don't want to be a singles champion right now, but, I mean, really, the best way to capitalize on that is to put the unified title around him, right?
You would think something's coming with that. Now, I heard this thing with Orton might be more real than we thought, and he actually is meeting with orthopedic surgeons and things about his back. I don't think it's anything they think is going to keep him out for an extended period of time, though, because I'm almost positive that SummerSlam is Randy Orton versus Roman Reigns. I'm almost positive of that, unless something bad happens and they find out that his back is worse than imagined or whatever. By the way, a little bit of good news on Big E. Apparently Big E's been seen around with no neck brace. That's very good news, because I don't think he underwent the knife, like some people were speculating, including himself. He said it may come down to that. I thought we could do this without surgery, but it's starting to look like it's not healing as well as they'd hoped. And if it doesn't pick up, then probably we're going to be looking at surgery. If his neck brace is off, that's probably off the table now. So that's very good news. So good for him. We hope we see Big E back sooner rather than later. By the way, Charlotte Flair and Andretti got married over the last weekend, and we didn't mention it. So congratulations to them. That's, I guess, what Charlotte's been written off for a little while. They were, you know, they had their ons and offs or whatever, but hey, glad they're happy. Now, we got two serious things to talk about, and this goes to show you how the fan base is getting weird. Alexa Bliss recently came out and said that there's been some guy stalking her on the internet, and he basically threatened to shoot her and her husband. He even told them the date, what he was going, when he was going to do it. Look, people should not have to put up with this. Period. And I don't know whether this is just some chucklehead trying to get his 5 minutes of fame, or it's a psychopath. But in today's age, you can't take this as, that's just some stupid kid in his mom's basement trying to be a hotshot, because it could get you dead. So what needs to happen, and I hope will happen, and hope is happening, is they need to trace every one of those. They need to find the person responsible. And I don't care if that person is 15. They need to go to jail. This is not a joke. Not in today's world, it's not. Not when somebody can walk into a school in Texas and open fire on 9-year-olds. So this guy's got to be found, and an example has to be made of him, because he's not unique. Over in AEW, Taya Conte and Sammy Guevara's going through the same thing. Threatening to kill Sammy and do unmentionable things to her. They got to be found, and they got to be put in jail. None of this, well, we know you were kidding. We know you were trying to be a troll. We know you were trying to pull a pro wrestling thing. Naughty boy, don't do it again. If you're stalking somebody saying, you suck, you suck, you suck, you're a horrible wrestler, you suck, that's something for the wrestler to take care of and just block them and say, whatever. Tired of listening to your bullshit. When you threaten somebody's physical safety, that is making a terroristic threat. That's going way, way, way beyond just being a troll and being an internet dumbass. That's being a criminal. That's putting somebody in a position where they have to watch behind their back every moment of the day because they fear some moron from behind a computer somewhere is going to pop out. It's not funny. It's not cutesy. It's not clever. It's a crime. And if Alexa Bliss and Taya Conte do not press charges to the fullest extent of the law, they are insane. Find these people. Put them, I don't care if the 15-year-old kid, then put them in juvie. Whatever you got to do. This person needs, both of these people, need to pay a price. Because if you're one of those people that says, oh, well, we went to the kid's house, and he's just like, oh, I was just trying to be a character in the drama pro wrestling. I don't mean any of this. And they say, okay, don't do it again. And then he walks into a school and shoots 15, 20 people. Then you're going to be like, well, how come you didn't know about him? We can't have this as a society. We can't have this. Number one, I don't know why anybody wastes their time going to a wrestler's site to tell them they suck. That means you have no life. Go to a wrestler's site and say, that was an excellent match. I absolutely enjoyed that match. I know I've communicated with Aaron Stevens about how much I loved that Comic-Con skit that he did and a couple of other things that we talked about. I would never go on a wrestler's site and say, well, you're just terrible. Your match sucked. Well, what kind of a person would do that anyway? You don't like it? Okay, well, fine. You don't like it. You feel the need to go tell them you don't like it. Why? Makes no sense to me. I don't like CM Punk. I don't like the fact he wore that stupid shirt. I think he's an idiot. I'm not going to go on his site and say, hey, CM Punk, you're an idiot. I personally think he's an idiot. I also think he's very cowardly when it comes to his communication with fans because he won't let them answer back. But even if he called for it, even if he said, anybody who has a problem with me wearing that shirt, I want to hear from you, fine. I'll tell him why. But I'm not going to tell him why and be all kinds of, you suck, you're an idiot. I'll tell him why. I'll tell him, you think that's good for business? How do you think that's good for business when half of that audience disagrees with you and may take offense to it? So I would use logic and I would actually have a debate. These people will just get on there and say, I'm going to kill you. Well, that's just something mentally wrong with you. And the people who just go on and say, you suck, you're not a good wrestler, there's something mentally wrong with you too. But this is the culture we live in now because you can hide behind a keyboard and you can do that. I have wrestlers all the time who say, oh, I get this shit from fans, and they'd never say it to my face. And I tell everyone, and I mean it sincerely, if I say anything about any wrestler on this program, I will say it to your face. If I meet you and you ask me, did you say that? I'm like, absolutely, I said it and I meant it. Because if I don't mean it, then I wouldn't say it. And if I do mean it, why wouldn't I say it to your face? I'm afraid of what? That we're going to get in a fight? I don't care. I have a right to my opinion. But what you don't have a right to do is harass and torment people. But this is the culture we live in. I don't like you, so you need to go away. It's not enough that a million people like you. If somebody calls this show and says, I think CM Punk's wonderful and I think that T-shirt was great, okay. Fine. Good for you. I'm glad you enjoy CM Punk, and I'm glad you have an opinion on abortion. Doesn't mean I have to have that opinion. I don't feel the need to now tell you how stupid you are, how dumb you are, or prove I'm right. I don't care. Enjoy what you enjoy, because unlike the people I'm talking about, I'm mature enough to say, if you like it, go ahead. I wouldn't pay 25 cents to see some of these performers who are on the top Billboard top 40 right now perform. I think they're terrible, but they're selling concerts out all over the place. Go for it. If you love it, go. Enjoy yourself. I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. But don't try to convince me I have to enjoy myself. So I don't know if you've heard about this incident. The Alexa Bliss one seems to be a little more serious. because this person absolutely 100% time and the date that they were going to shoot both her and her husband, Mike.
Right. You know, you don't do that. I mean, we talked about how back in the day there were certain things that certain gimmicks that when wrestlers or managers did those gimmicks, they had to be careful because they couldn't get out the building, right? I mean, the whole thing with Skandar Akbar and his crew in some of the buildings down here, down in Louisiana here, there were times they could, people actually wanted to kill them. They bought into it so much that they wanted to kill them. They had to have cops to get them out of the building. Yeah, if Lexi Kaufman, who is Alexa Bliss, if Alexa Kaufman hasn't already gone to Vince or hasn't gone to the FBI, she's stupid. And I don't think she's stupid.
No, and again, if it gets to the point, I'm sure she doesn't even have to press charges. They will. But if there is any more charges that she could press, do yourself and the world a favor. Do not play to the sympathy card. Do not play to, well, we ran into the kid. We went and found the kid, and he doesn't own a gun, and he doesn't have even a way to get around. He doesn't drive a car. He's, you know, 16 years old, and he's just living in his mom's basement, and he's just trying to be a hot shot on the internet. Don't say, okay, well, I guess then I'll... No. Say, I don't care. I don't care. Press charges to the maximum extent of the law. Do not fall for this. This is why we have school shooters. This is why we have crazy people doing the things they do. Because too many people coddle them and say, well, I guess they're okay. We have to just... No, we don't have to do any of that. Put them in jail. Put them in detention, whatever the hell else you get, a kid detention home if they're underage. Because even if he didn't mean it this time, what happens 3 years down the road when he gets the urge to do it again and says, well, last time I didn't do anything, and, you know, maybe this time I will. How about that? How about somebody else is his victim? Let me tell you a little story. I very seldom tell you a personal story, but I'll tell you a personal story that happened to me, and it woke me up. I had my car stolen out of a parking lot. I had a Firebird, and I stupidly left the keys in and ran into a store just to pick up a couple of things quickly. When I walked out, no Firebird. My first thought was one of my friends who worked at the store moved my car in the parking lot to try to make me find my car. After about 10 minutes of looking for that car, I realized my car is gone. I called the police. The police told me, your car's not stolen, but the gas inside it is. You just gassed up and drove away. That was back when you could actually do that without paying first. I said, no, I don't have possession of my car. It's stolen. That's what I'm telling you. Well, they found the people. Two kids, two chuckleheads, not even old enough to drive. They crashed it into a tree because they can't drive. One of them, I went to the police station, and they said the following. Well, the one kid who's basically the leader, his dad is a prominent person in the community. The other kid's a goofball. His parents don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out, and you won't get any money. This family came to me and said, if you do not press charges and ruin my son's life, I will pay totally for the repairs of your car. He made a stupid mistake. He just thought your car was cool. He wanted to take a really short drive in it. They were going to bring it back, and they crashed it. It was a dumb mistake. He's a kid. Please don't ruin the rest of his life. My stupid ass said, okay. 3 years later, that same kid drove a taxi cab. Well, he didn't drive it. Had a taxi cab driver drive down a dirt road, shoot him in the head for about $55. Dead. Killed him. Murdered him. And I couldn't help but think, maybe I should have put the kid in jail. He wouldn't have been in jail for 3 years, not as young as he was. But maybe it would have taught him a lesson. Maybe we'd have a cab driver alive today. But when you have no consequence for your action, sometimes that happens. So this kid says, my family got me out of it. I didn't get any charges pressed. Maybe I'll just go do something else. And one thing leads to another. And that's why I'm telling you, Alexa Bliss, Taya Conte, press the goddamn charges on these people. Because even if it seems like it's innocent enough today and it's not so serious today, you don't know what's going to happen with that same person a few years down the road, and you don't want to live with it. Todd, you have to press charges on these people, and these people got to stop it.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is the world we live in now. Like you said, what is wrong with these people?
I don't know. Mike, I don't even know how come they're not banned. If I say a certain thing, if I say don't wear a mask when you go out in public because it doesn't do any good, they'll throw me off of social media. But apparently you can use social media to threaten to shoot people.
Apparently, and that's the thing. Think about this. When Rudy Giuliani took over New York City, what did he do? He instituted the broken windows theory, which means you prosecute the little things, and the bigger things go by the wayside. For instance,
yes,
people that used to jump the turnstiles in the subways, right? Well,
yep.
The theory goes if somebody jumps the turnstiles, that's somebody and doesn't get arrested for it, doesn't have any consequences, that's the same person that might go onto a train and rape somebody or kill somebody, you know? So.
Yes.
So this stuff has to be prosecuted.
Yeah, it really does. And I hope they got to be able to find them relatively easily. I mean, everyone leaves their, fingerprint when they use these sites. So you really got to be able to find them pretty damn easily. And once they're found, yeah, you got to press charges to the fullest extent of the law. Anyway, back to SmackDown. We also got a very, very good segment involving Drew Gulak and Ricochet versus both Gunther and I don't even remember what they're calling him over there now, his whatever you want to call the guy. Why this was so good is because it did what wrestling used to do. And that was make you anticipate something. There was never a single time when Ricochet was in the ring with Gunther. Ricochet showed he was more than a match for his tag team partner. But Gunther never got in there. Not with Ricochet. And it made the fans think, I wonder what's going to happen when Ricochet and Gunther lock up. That's going to be interesting. And they didn't. So that means down the road you're going to see Ricochet versus Gunther, and you're going to want to see it because you say, I didn't get to see that before. They didn't have the opportunity to get in the ring together during the tag team match. That's good booking. Now, I can guarantee you Gunther's going to be the champion. He's going to beat Ricochet. That's obvious. But you're making everyone anticipate this match. And you did an excellent job with it. An excellent job. This is what wrestling used to do. It used to be even more subtle. You used to have, here comes good guy A. And you say, look at this guy, man. He just absolutely powerhouse destroyed this jobber. Look how strong he is. He's pressing him over his head. He's throwing him around. He's a Superman. Then out comes bad guy A, and he's a big giant monster who throws people around, and nobody gets a punch in at him. And you're like, I wonder what would happen if those two guys got in the ring together. They wanted you to think that. And then slowly they'd start to build it. And you say, I knew that was going to happen. I can't wait to see that. That's going to be a clash, and they just keep fanning the flames. That's long been thrown out the window, and now it's just, oh, well, you're fighting you, and that's the way it goes. I'm glad to see they're returning to this, because now you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, Gunther's a big old-school sort of a chop you, beat you up, headbutt you, tie you up in knots type guy. Ricochet is a bounce all around the friggin' ring, 100 miles an hour, new school type guy. He's exactly the type of person that Gunther would probably have a really hard time with because he's not quick. And if he can't catch you, he's got problems. On the other school, if he does catch Ricochet, Ricochet's going to have major problems because Ricochet's not a ground fighter. So now you've anticipated this match of two very different styles. And I'm looking forward to it. Now, I got news. I'm not a Ricochet fan. I'm not even particularly a Gunther fan. But you've done it with good writing and good booking, making me see the differences between the two and say, oh, you know, that could be interesting. So, again, I think SmackDown did a good job of whetting our appetite for this, Mike.
Yeah, by the way, the other guy is Ludwig Kaiser. He was Martel Bartel.
Right.
Kaiser.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, and I can't believe they took him away from his tag team partner, but I guess they didn't want, you know, him and Walt Gunther are supposed to be German and the other guy is an Italian or whatever. I don't know. But I was really enjoying Imperium, but hey, everything can't last forever. So yeah, I like that. I like it. And look, we've said it before. When you got these guys, I mean, remember what happened when AJ Styles fought Lesnar, right? Lesnar
right.
got hold to him, but when AJ started to pick up the pace, we saw what they did, and it was good, you know?
Yes, and this is why that match, by the way, is why I actually started having a little more respect for Lesnar. At the time, I was a little down on him because I said, well, you know, he only wants to work with people that he knows is going to be a match for him as far as, like, size and power. He doesn't want to sell to anybody other than that. And when he worked with AJ and really gave AJ, there was a point in that match I said, AJ Styles is going to win this match. I really said, okay, well, he respects Styles. He understands Styles is great at what he does. And even though Styles is 5'8" and whatever it happens to be, he sold to him big time. Now, here's the reason I like Gunther and Kaiser. These are old school bad guys. There's nobody rooting for them. Remember what we said about the bad guys and what they should not be? They're not cool. There's nothing cool about them. They don't have cool, hip, wonderful theme music that you want to sing along with. No. They don't send mixed messages about whether we're a heel or a face. No. They're not somebody who looks like they're stepped out of a magazine. No. These are true old school heels. And the fascinating part about him meeting somebody like Ricochet is this is really going to be old school meets new school. So this is why I like the Gunther-Kaiser thing. I think they're doing an excellent job with them, Todd, because these are old school heels.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is pretty cool having an old school heel not being cool or anything. They're straight up old school heels like back in the day.
Yes, they absolutely are. And that's going to be fascinating because once he gets a hold of the title, and he will, you'll have any host of people that you could make off of him. In other words, Mike, there's a lot of guys who you say, oh, well, they're a heel, but you can't make a face off of them because people don't really hate them. That's half the fans like them, half the fans are wearing their T-shirt, singing along with their theme music. So you're like, well, we want to try to make a big hero out of this guy and a big face out of this guy, but if you put him against that guy, it doesn't work because half the fans are booing him. This is the type of guy that you can make a face off of by working a program with him.
Basically, what I want to say about that is this. What did they do with him in NXT UK? What did they do with him with Walter in NXT?
Yep.
He made a ton of people when he was a champion in both of those two places because he was that old-school type heel. Basically, that was part of the gimmick. We're bringing back traditional wrestling, right? That was part of their gimmick at the Imperium. So, yeah, these two guys, and I would wager to say if they bring up Eichner, the third guy that was in the group, well, there was a fourth guy, but he's no longer with the company. But if they would bring up Eichner and put him with them, that would be a hell of a threesome.
Mike, I got to tell you, you and me think alike because I couldn't help. I know it's not going to happen. But the promoter in me, the wrestling booker in my head, thinking while I'm watching Gunther is this smug, I'm better than any American type guy. I'm better than all you other people. I'm the person. I'm the top guy. I'm the head. I keep saying to myself, Jesus, this would be a good way to turn Roman Reigns and the Usos. Because if you can get real nuclear heat with Gunther and they come head-to-head with Roman Reigns and the Usos, the fans are going to go nuts for Roman Reigns and the Usos. The fans are going to blow the freaking roof off the building. But you got to get that nuclear heat from Gunther first. Now, he's starting to get some. He needs more. But if you keep pressing this, we are the, you know, gold standard of wrestling. We're the top of whatever. You could potentially do it. Now, will they do it? No, because they want to do they're set on wanting to do The Rock and Roman Reigns. And I don't blame them. But, man, would that be something to see? Because I truly think, Mike, the roof would go off the building for the Bloodline if that happened.
Absolutely. And they would have, you know, in my opinion, they would have to bring up Eichner.
Of course, yeah.
You would need to have that third person in the group. Now if everything goes the way I hope it wouldn't go, I hope it's going to go with that everything gets worked out with Naomi. I could do without Sasha Banks, whatever. If everything gets worked out with Naomi and they actually decide to do the whole Naomi with the Usos, you could bring up somebody like Isla Dawn or somebody like that that's a female wrestler, a female German wrestler down there in NXT UK and put them with Eichner and what you call it, and those two guys, Fabian Eichner and Bartel and Walt Gunther, you know, you'd have a hell of a feud, you know.
You really would. This is usually what the WWE would specialize in. They would bring in a heel that got nuclear heat that nobody thought was cool, nobody thought was hip, nobody was buying their T-shirts and you know, singing along with their theme song. And they would get them such nuclear heat, and then they would take a heel that fans sort of liked, and they would clash those two. And right away, the fans would be like, we're definitely on so-and-so's side on this. We have been waiting for an opportunity to cheer them anyway, and now we have that opportunity. That would be what would happen. Now, granted, you're losing something big here because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, Roman Reigns and the Usos are the big deal. So we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, listen, now that the brand split is kind of wishy-washy, you might even be setting them up for Cody Rhodes. You know, I don't know what you're setting them up for. But my first thought went to Roman Reigns. And I said to myself, that would be an interesting thing. Especially when you got somebody else on SmackDown, which is technically their show, basically saying I'm the head person here, I'm the top guy, I'm the only real athlete or whatever. That's kind of interesting. Now, I hope they build their heat with Gunther slowly and they do it well. Here's what you can't do. I know there's Ricochet fans out there and they're going to start throwing eggs at me, but if Gunther's going to win, and obviously he's going to, he's got to win really convincingly. He's got to give, like, Ricochet a minute of offense where it's like, I can't catch him, I can't catch him, I can't catch him. Then he's got to catch him and really finish him off. Where you say, okay, Ricochet did his best to stay away and hit and run, but it didn't have that much effect on him. And when he got him, forget it. Jesus Christ. You know, who's gonna take on that guy? And then if you keep doing that with people that you say, oh, well, he won't get by this guy. Oh, shit, he did. Eventually, the fans are going to say, who's going to take this guy out? And when you bring that guy in, he's going to get a big pop. That's what they did with Rusev. Remember when you all thought, well, Jack Swagger will take him out? No, Jack Swagger didn't. Well, Mark Henry, well, no, Mark Henry didn't. Well, the Big Show sure will. No, the Big Show didn't. He saved him for John Cena, which, you know, was obvious. But still, that was fine. He was your top guy. The way you do this. This is the first time I've seen them really give the right push to somebody. Gunther is getting the push he needs to get. You notice he didn't get wrapped up by Jeff Hardy for a three count the first time he debuted like Karrion Kross did. You notice he didn't go 50-50 with Ricochet for 3 minutes in the ring Friday night. They didn't make any of those mistakes. They said you're not even going to touch Ricochet except at the end of the match, where he didn't see it coming. Until then, it's just going to be the tension between you two. What's going to happen if they get in the ring with each other? Oh, they didn't. Ricochet's going to get to show you what he can do, but against Kaiser. And a fan saying, oh, man, if he tags Gunther in, this will be interesting. Oh, he didn't. That's clever booking. That's the reason I love professional wrestling. When you start to do these things and you start to show me you're trying to psychologically tell a story and give the fans, make the fans anticipate what's next, then I'm buying what you're selling. So I really, really like this. I thought this was one of the better things I saw on SmackDown this week. Now we got another appearance by Max Dupree, and this time he seemed a little more Eli Drake-ish. I don't know who's going to be his guys. The first thing I'm thinking of is maybe Los Lotharios. That's the first thing that came to mind, but then I don't think so because they almost played the good guys this week. They had a match with Jinder Mahal and Shanky, and Los Lotharios pick up the victory. Good idea. There appears to be some dissension between Shanky and then Jinder. Shanky's obviously going to be the good guy in this because he's the guy who's doing the dancing and the funny stuff and had to be taken away from his dance routine by Jinder, and Jinder's yelling at him for losing the match even though Jinder lost the match. So obviously Shanky's going to be the face in this, which means you're going to have a 7-foot-tall face. That's a good thing, I guess. I think even this was really good, and I think that the kiss cam thing is rigged. Obviously, they're telling somebody ahead of time. They're picking out whatever attractive girl they can find and say, you come to the front. Now, they did the same thing with Rick Rude. I actually knew a woman who got to go in the ring and have the Rick Rude kiss and faint and thing, and she told me exactly how it worked. They came to her ahead of time and said, you're the person he's going to pick if you want to do this, and you have to 100% act like you're enjoying it. You have to 100% faint, let them lay you down on the whatever, stay there until we tell you not to and we cut, and then you can get up and, you know, we'll give you a T-shirt or whatever. That's what they do with the kiss cam. But it doesn't matter because it's something to help get them over. And it appears as though they're going to try to make these guys sort of tweeners where it depends on who they fight, whether you're on their side or they're not. They haven't changed their style. It's just a matter of who they fight. So I think this could be interesting, too. They're trying to get Los Lotharios on the right track, Mike, which is a good thing.
I think so, too, you know, and that's the thing. We need to see a lot more of this trying to get people on the right track. And look, I think Los Lotharios have a potential of being very, very big faces.
Yeah, so do I. But they have to be handled right, and they got to be faces who are not afraid to cheat if they need to. They've got to be that Eddie Guerrero type faces where you're like, okay, well, you know, if we have to hold the tights, we got to put our feet on the rope. You were going to do it anyway. If we didn't, you would. So, hey, that's the way we are. If they stay with that and they're sort of the lovable bad guys, not afraid to take a shortcut once in a while, you will have something good with these guys. If you take the opposite approach and you try to make them squeaky clean, it's not going to work. And if you try to make them horrible heels, that's not going to work either because they never do anything horrible enough. So I think they're on the right track with these guys, Todd. I'm interested to see what they do with them in the coming weeks.
Well, you're absolutely right, Dan. Like you said, this Los Lotharios thing goes over really well. Turn them face completely.
Yeah, what I would say is this. I mean, if you're going to try to get Shanky and Jinder into a feud, fine. Let Shanky destroy Jinder. You're not doing anything with Jinder anyway. Doesn't matter. So Shanky destroys Jinder. He's this fun-loving, dancing, seven-foot giant. Then throw him to Walter. Throw him to Gunther and have Gunther demolish him. And people will say, Jesus Christ, he demolished Ricochet, who's quick. He demolished Shanky, who's 7 foot tall. Who can't he beat? He can beat the strong guys. He can beat the quick guys. That's more cannon fodder. That's more heat. Until you run into a guy who you say, I don't care what anybody says, he's not going to have his way with this guy. This guy's going to press him to the limit. And then that's the way fans pack arenas to see things. When you finally say, well, he's going to fight, I don't know, who would it be? Drew McIntyre, or he's going to fight whoever, and you say, oh, well, he's not going to cakewalk Drew McIntyre, so here we go. That's the way you build support for a face, Mike. And if they handle Gunther the right way, and they handle Shanky the right way, you could have a lovable 7 foot giant guy who doesn't win a lot, but he's fun, and in certain circumstances, he's good enough to win, and you would have a major, major heel that you could build faces off of.
Absolutely, and think about this. Last time they tried the dancing giant thing, that was with whom?
Yep.
And who trained Shanky?
That's right. That's it. That's what I mean.
And think about it. Think about it this way. You got a big guy who's obviously very athletic and willing to do whatever you tell him to do, absolutely, without question, because remember how many chair shots he took?
Yes. Yeah, he sure did. He took a ton of them from Drew McIntyre, and they were good chair shots, too. They were not bullshit chair shots. So, yeah, I mean, look, Shanky, you could make him, like I said, make him kind of a lovable giant for a while. You could always turn him later. You could always make him more serious later, whatever it happened to be. He's very young. At least he looks very young. So I'm guessing that he's going to be around for a while. So, yeah, I mean, you break him in slowly, that's fine. What you need to do, though, is you need to get your ducks in a row with who you're setting up for Gunther. In other words, I would already, as a promoter, be saying, look, we get this strap around Gunther off of Ricochet. Then we're going to go through X, Y, and Z. On our way to doing this, I'm all for that. If the writers are sitting there with their fingers in their ass saying, well, I don't know, he's going to fight Ricochet, and then after that, I don't know. Well, you better know. You better know. That's what your job is. We need to get a blueprint going. Not just with Gunther, but with everybody. So you say, this is where things are leading. Now, I truly feel this week SmackDown has a feel of where they're going. They're going somewhere with Sami Zayn. So they must know where they're going, I hope. They're going somewhere with Walter other than just he's beaten Ricochet for the belt. But they're going somewhere with this, so I hope they already know who his ultimate opponent is going to be. And when you get that kind of advanced writing, again, even with the women's division, you know where this is going with Ronda. Ronda Rousey is now actually a legit champion. Her first reign was a joke. This reign is not a joke. She's got legitimate contenders ahead of her. Well, you can say, well, if she beats this person, there's this person. And even if she beats this person, you got to look out for this person. She's got legitimate contenders. That's a good thing. And, of course, Charlotte's going to be coming back. She'll have another possibility. So this is doing the right thing. When the WWE does the right thing, I'm not afraid to say it. And they're doing the right thing with SmackDown. Now, again, I don't like that Shayna Baszler got pinned. I think you've got a whole big program out of Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey and not show Shayna Baszler's weaknesses. You showed her weaknesses. Now nobody's really interested in it. You're going to have to build her back up again if you want something good out of that Ronda Rousey thing, if you're going to do that. But at least you have a storyline going for the women's divisions, which is nice. And you didn't need Sasha, and you didn't need Naomi to do it. You're starting to utilize your dressing room a little bit. You're even utilizing Drew Gulick. Now, Drew Gulick is one of these people who, unfortunately, he's very talented wrestler. I've seen him many times. Very talented. Very good on the mic. A lot of charisma, if he's given an opportunity to have it. But that's not his role right now. His role right now is to be that guy that you say, I'd like to see him succeed, but these bastards, they're beating him, and they're, you know, his head's not on right. There's a lot you could do with Drew coming down the line, but at least he's being used. At least he's being used. And that's the key thing, Todd, is now I feel like the WWE is sort of using their locker room.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, now they're starting to use their locker room a little better. And back a couple of years back, they didn't really use the guys who you don't even see that much anymore on TV. Now they're trying to fix that.
Yeah, they really are. Now I had a fan write me say, "What do you think of the fact that the WWE is like really not utilizing their titles at all?" We haven't seen Austin Theory, and he hasn't really defended. Ricochet was in a tag team match, but he's not really defending. Roman Reigns doesn't defend on television, or sometimes he's in a tag team match. You know, there's very few title defenses. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. But maybe they're trying to – here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping they are trying to make the title defenses feel important, because for a long time the title defenses didn't. It was always like, well, they're defending this week on Raw, he's defending this week on SmackDown, tag team titles are being defended on Raw, tag team titles are being defended on SmackDown. Maybe, just maybe, the WWE has said, you know what, let's make the title defenses more special, and you don't see them as often. That way they'll feel important when you do see them. I'm hoping that's the plan, Mike, because, you know, fan is right. We haven't seen a lot of that on Raw and SmackDown.
You got to ask yourself, and I don't know how this fan that wrote you, but you got to ask yourself, think about this. Go back in your history. Did Hulk Hogan, when Hulkamania was running wild, wrestle all that much on superstars or defend on superstars? You know,
right.
Did he defend on whatever the other programs were at the time? Not very much. Yeah. No. He'd appear and do, you know, interview promos and stuff like that, but he never defended.
Yep.
Hardly ever defended. I mean, yeah, he may have defended on Saturday Night's Main Event, but that was a special case, right?
Right.
Or he wrestled on Saturday Night's Main Event. That was a special, that was once every, what, month or 2 months or whatever it was for Saturday Night's Main Event at the time. And it was special. I mean, at one point they used
a match with him and the Warrior and the Genius and Mr. Perfect to basically promote the fact that they were going to split that team up and have that match that eventually put the title around the Warrior's waist. So there was always a point for him wrestling on TV, not on a pay-per-view, on TV, Hogan. So I think that's where they're going with this. There's a point for the Usos or Roman Reigns or something like that to wrestle on TV. You know, you really don't see, the Usos may appear, but other than the fact last Monday night when they wrestled for the titles to win the titles, or two Monday nights ago, whatever it was, how much do the Usos really wrestle on TV?
Right. No, I'm all for this. I think it's a good. I think it's a good thing. If that's what they're trying to do is make it feel more special, that's a good thing. Let's quickly go through the at least the top matches in the AEW Double or Nothing, because some people are asking about my thoughts. Here's my main thought. Hangman Page, this is going to be a very interesting thing, because I know all the CM Punk fans out there are saying this will be the greatest thing in the world if CM Punk wins the title. CM Punk being the AEW champion will bring so many eyes to the product, so much whatever. Here is a guy who clearly isolates half of your fan base. I don't think you want him as the champion. I don't know if you promised him this when he signed. It wouldn't surprise me. For some reason, I think that you may see CM Punk win this. Now, I would say I'm in the minority. Most people think Paige is going to take this. But I have this weird feeling that they might have written this into his contract, that at some point he's at least getting the belt for a short period of time. So I'm thinking, Mike, that we may see a new champion tonight. What's your thoughts?
Right. And I think at least for a short period of time, and then either Paige or somebody else will get it. And it's likely going to be somebody like Wardlow or even MJF at some point, or maybe Jericho again, or maybe even Moxley. All right, I know Moxley's tied up in that tag team, but Moxley. You know I think it's about time Moxley holds the singles title again. But that's just me. And look, I mean, think about this. Yeah, they're chanting his name, CM Punk's name. What got loudest, CM Punk or cowboy shit?
Yeah, no, I hear you. We'll see what happens. And, Derek is saying CM Punk's going to win this. It's probably written into the mix in the contract. That wouldn't surprise me. Todd, CM Punk or Hangman, who wins this?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not a CM Punk fan like you or Mike here. I'm going to go with the opposite. I'm going to go with Hangman Adam Page on this one to retain.
Okay, there are some people saying that that's where the direction they think it's going to go. Now, as far as MJF and Wardlow, I don't even know if the match is happening. If it is, Wardlow's winning. I don't think anybody thinks, after all this buildup, Wardlow's losing this match. Wardlow will win this match if it happens. Whether it happens or not, I don't know. Mike, you in agreement? Wardlow would pretty much have to win this?
Yeah, I think if it happens, and to tell you the truth, because he didn't get on that plane, I'm leaning toward the match is going to happen. And if it happens, when it happens, Wardlow's going to win this match. Because they got big plans. Yeah, they really like MJF. And he's a blue chipper, but I think they still have huge plans for Wardlow.
Yeah, me too. And this is the way the story goes. You can't have the ending be Wardlow loses. I just don't see how that's a good ending. So, Todd, it would pretty much have to be Wardlow winning this, right?
Yep, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they need Wardlow to win this. And, like Mike said, in Las Vegas, that means if MJF is in, actually in Las Vegas, Wardlow's probably going to win this match tonight.
Yeah, now I had people say to me, do you think that's why MJF walked out, because he doesn't want to do the job to Wardlow? No. MJF knew from the beginning of this feud he's doing the job to Wardlow, so that's not the reason. Otherwise, you'd have heard about it before. Adam Cole versus Samoa Joe for the Owen Hart Cup Finals, at least the men's Owen Hart Finals. I got to figure Samoa Joe's winning this. I mean, I guess Adam Cole could win it, but I just have this feeling that Samoa Joe's going to take this one. Mike, what's your thought?
I think so, too. I mean, look. I mean, they got to do this because they don't – I mean, he's kind of – Samoa Joe's kind of injury-prone, and they don't know how long he's going to stay healthy. He's a bit of an older wrestler as well. They want to get as much as they can, as soon as they can, out of Samoa Joe. So, yeah, he's going to win this.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too, pretty much for the same reason. Todd, what's your thoughts on it?
I got to go with a small submission machine. I got to go with Samoa Joe here to win this whole thing, this Owen Hart tournament thing.
Okay, then we got the Hardys and the Young Bucks. This has been a dream match for a lot of people. It came a little too late probably in the Hardy's career, but I'm thinking the Bucks take this. Probably not cleanly, but I think the Bucks take it. What's your thoughts, Mike?
I think the Bucks take it and not cleanly, but I think that if you look at it and look at what they've been doing lately with this thing and how they've had different, you know, 4- and 8-way matches with people like Sting and others and Darby Allin, who I don't think Darby's on this card now, is he? Is he?
No.
So
nope.
So I mean I would seem to think that if he doesn't have a match, there could be a chance that the Young Bucks might try to have somebody interfere, but somebody like Darby Allin, maybe somebody else would come in there and, well, help out.
Yeah, I think there's got to be some interference. I don't think it'll be a clean match. AEW Tag Team Championship match. We got Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus Team Taz versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. I'm going to go with – this is a little tougher. I'm going to go with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland. They haven't done much with Keith Lee. I think if they're going to use him, this is the time they're going to use him. So that's what I'll go with. Lee and Strickland. Mike, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to go with that as well because I think that at some point, I know they like Jurassic Express, but it's obvious who has the more charisma in that group, in that person, you know. Because he's the manager, Christian, but as far as the active wrestler in this thing, it is Jungle Boy, and from what I understand, Jungle Boy has put on a good 20 pounds, and so if he's put on that weight, then he's been probably told that it's time that we're going to try and push you up some more as a singles wrestler. So I think,
I agree with that. That's why I think they wouldn't put it on Jurassic Express. Yeah, I agree with that. Todd, what's your thought on this?
I got to go with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland here to be the new AEW World Tag Team Champions tonight.
Yeah, so we're in agreement on that, too. And I think there's only one more match that I know of, and that's, the House of Black versus the Death Triangle. House of Black's going to win that. I mean, I think that's really obvious. If they don't, then I don't know. I don't know what you're booking. So I'll go with House of Black. What's your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, I'll go with the House of Black as well. And let me ask you this. Aren't there going to be finals for the matches?
Well, the one is Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole. That is the final. Oh, wait, there is one more. Of course, yeah, there's a couple more. That's right. There's Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb. Yeah, no, that's not for the women's final. That's just for the title. And there's, of course, the Jericho Appreciation Society versus the Blackpool Combat Club. And then Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. I don't know. Probably the Blackpool Combat Club. Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. I don't know about that one. As far as Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb, I don't see Serena Deeb winning. I'll say Thunder Rosa retains that, Mike. What's your thoughts?
I'll say she retains that, but this match, as a, this woman's match, is one of the few that has a shot to tear the house down. These are two extremely good wrestlers, and think about this: the WWE had Serena Deeb, and they did nothing with her.
Yes, that's true. That's absolutely true. The WWE looks for different things from people than AEW does. We've talked about that quite a bit on this show, and I just don't think they thought Serena Deeb would work out for what they wanted. What's your thoughts, Thunder Rosa or Serena Deeb, Todd?
I'm going to go with Thunder Rosa, the retain.
Yeah, me too. Me too. So there you go. There we have it. If MJF does not show up, and this legitimately match, they're going to have to come up with something else for Wardlow. I don't know what they'll come up with. To be honest with you, I'd throw him in as a three-way with Hangman Adam Page and Punk and let him win the damn thing. That would be a shock, and it would be, wow. You know, it would be that wow moment, Mike.
It really would, and frankly, you know, it would. I don't know if it would piss Punk off, because he's probably expecting to win it, but
yeah,
he could
true.
Come back later and beat Wardlow at some point. That probably might be a good match, you know. But again, I still think that match is the Wardlow match is going to happen. But that's just me.
I think it's going to happen too, because I don't think MJF is that dumb. I don't think he's going to cut his throat in this business by proving that he'll walk out on a major pay-per-view over money. That's just not something you do, because you're not just going to be upsetting AEW. You would be sending a clear message to every single other company, don't work with this guy. So I think it's going to happen. Anyway, we will be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio.